Hi, thanks for joining Grief and Frozen Lasagnas every first and third Thursdays. I'm your host, Veronica Day. This podcast is devoted to talking openly about grief and how to help someone who's grieving. We're not licensed professionals nor grief experts. We're just real people with real stories regarding grief, all types of grief. Sometimes it will be sad, sometimes it might make you laugh, but whatever the case, we strive to be honest and real. Well, welcome back. We are kicking off season 5 and celebrating our podcast turning 2 years old. I am so thankful to all our previous guests sharing their grief to help others. My goal with this podcast was to help others understand grief and how to better help someone they love who is grieving. We've covered lots of different types of grief so far. We've heard some difficult shares, some have made us laugh, and some were truly eye-opening. Today, I will discuss how sometimes when we're trying to grieve, outside forces and events can make it hard to process the initial grief. Or maybe you feel relief. If you're thinking, what the hell is she talking about? Let me explain. I'm going to talk about my dad. Many of our listeners might already know my dad suffered from Lewy body dementia. It affected his memory, his motor skills, reasoning, problem-solving ability, and then later, his speech. My family and I had to make the very difficult decision to find a memory care facility for him. Now, coming to terms with his memory loss was devastating enough, and then you add the complexity of trying to find the best care for him. Now, add in location, services, quality, and price. Okay, now add another layer of trying to find a facility that has an open bed. I guess I always thought that if the time ever came that my parents might need a nursing home facility, there would at least be a bed for them. I read the following in an article in the American Health Care Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. It said, "Nationwide labor shortages coupled with inflation and chronic government underfunding have forced nursing homes to limit their admissions, downsize, or even close entirely, leaving tens of thousands of vulnerable residents displaced and countless prospective residents and families in desperate search of care." The report revealed that during the pandemic, an overall decline in the number of nursing homes accelerated by nearly 4 times, specifically from 2020 to present. It said 579 nursing homes closed. More than 21,000 residents were displaced by the closures, and 30 more U.S. counties became nursing home deserts. Additionally, the report highlights a survey of nursing home providers from June of 2023, which found that due to the ongoing labor shortages, 55% of nursing homes are turning away prospective residents and patients, 48% of nursing homes have wait lists spanning at least a few days, 21% of nursing homes are downsizing beds or units, and 24% have closed a wing, a unit, or a floor because of the labor shortages. Wow. When we made the decision to find my dad a skilled memory care facility, we knew it would be expensive. Without going into a ton of details, we basically needed to apply for Medicaid. The application process is enough to cause a great deal of grief. It's confusing. It's complicated. My mom and I finally hired an attorney who specialized in the Medicaid application process. You know, I know it was expensive, but I'm going to say it, I think it was worth it. Then we just needed to find a place for my dad that accepted Medicaid. So I called over 60, that's 60, 60 facilities and toured several others. And we began to learn that many places had wait lists. And I'm not talking about a few days or a few weeks. I mean, 3 or 4 years. At first, I thought they said 34 years. And I was like, what? That's, you're joking. And she goes, no, 3 to 4 years. I was shocked. It was also a challenge to add the memory care and Medicaid components. There were a few agencies that offered to send me some customized lists, but I found that many of them were outdated or just plain inaccurate. And many nursing homes are also short-staffed. I got very depressed and I felt hopeless and useless. So I was trying to process the grief that I was slowly losing my dad to dementia. I was trying to handle the stress of finding him proper care. I worried about him and my mom all the time. We finally were able to move him into a skilled nursing home facility in April of 2023. And I thought once we got him into a nursing home, I might feel a little bit, I guess, relief. I was wrong. I knew that the first few weeks and months might be a hard adjustment for him and us. I just had no idea how hard. It broke my heart to hear him beg to come home. I was filled with dread every time my phone rang. I worried it would be the nursing home calling to tell me he was getting agitated again or worse. If you've never had someone in memory care, one thing you should know is that stuff goes missing all the time. The residents often forget where they put their stuff, or another person might mistake it for theirs. It's not malice, it's just confusion. When he moved into the home, the staff told us to write his name on everything and take photos of all his belongings, just in case it went missing. It would make it easier to find. The first week, his shoes went missing. We eventually found them. Many skilled nursing home facilities are short-staffed and overworked. While some of the teams try very hard, it's difficult to be everywhere, watching everyone at once. Sometimes diapers aren't changed as often as they should be, or sometimes the residents resist shower time. I hated seeing my dad live like this. Watching the residents at mealtime was also heartbreaking. From what I hear, it's not just the older or less equipped facilities. It can happen at the expensive ones too. I would often come home from visiting him, and I would feel like the worst daughter in the world. I was overwhelmed with guilt and grief. I felt like I was blaming myself because I thought, oh my gosh, I put him here. But it wasn't like I had a lot of other choices, or we had a lot of other choices at the time. You know, we had to go with what was open and what was available and that had the care he needed. I was sad, angry, and frustrated. I often had to push my grief aside so I could focus on what my parents needed. My younger sister was a great source of comfort. She lived far away, but I knew I could always call her. She understood. My parents had lived with her for a little bit before the whole nursing home thing happened. And so she got it. And there would be days where I would just cry. Some days he wouldn't know me or why I was there. But he still loved to talk. But as the dementia took over, his stories became more and more confusing and scattered. Lots of word salad. He couldn't remember words or names of places. He was confused about what year it was. He couldn't remember his grandchildren's names. I knew I was losing my dad, and my grief, it just slowly leaked out over many, many months. My dad took a steep decline on Friday, December 1st, 2023. My mom was at the nursing home visiting him like she did most days, and she noticed he couldn't really walk on his own or eat by himself, and he had this chronic cough. So long story short, we decided to have him transported to the nearby large hospital just to get checked out. We waited in the ER from about 5 or 6 p.m. to well after midnight. It was me, my mom, and my other sister. And then he was finally admitted, and they ran all kinds of tests. They determined it wasn't a stroke, and they checked for other things, but he still couldn't feed himself. He couldn't get out of the bed. Nurses had to come in and change him throughout the day. He was either mostly asleep or incoherent, but he would yell out in pain or frustration when they would try to change him. I think he was just scared. We continued to talk to him and let him know we were right there. The first days in the hospital, my mom would spend the night in the room with him, and I would stay with him during the day so she could run home to nap, shower, and whatever. I want to mention that the nurses and aides at this hospital were very kind. One day he was yelling a lot when they were trying to change him, and I would either leave the room or turn my back as to give them some privacy or just give him some dignity. Sometimes we'd have to hold his hands when they were trying to change him. But this particular day, and I have no idea why, but I started singing him the soft kitty song from the Big Bang Theory TV show. For those who don't know, it's a little silly bit that the characters did. They would sing the song to each other when they were sick. It was one of the main characters' favorite songs as a child. Now, if you've never heard it, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. Just Google it plus Big Bang Theory and you'll see it. You'll hear it. And so I'm singing the song, and the nurses immediately chimed in and started singing it too. And my dad quieted down. You see, my dad loved music. Seeing these nurses jump in and follow me just made me cry. It was extremely kind. So he was there for about 10 days. He was there for 10 days, and he was discharged on the 11th day. While he was there, we initially thought he might be able to go to a rehab facility, then back to memory care. We chatted with the nurses and doctors every day. We met with palliative care. He grew worse, and my mom, my sisters, and I met with hospice director and decided that hospice was the best next step. This was super hard, but we knew it was for the best. So you could see it wasn't just the grief of losing him, but all that stuff in between. And you worry about doing the wrong thing. You worry if you're taking good care of yourself, of your loved ones. And I felt like I was failing in all areas, that I was either neglecting my mom or my dad or my marriage, or I was just being a crappy friend. That was another type of grief I was trying to wrap my head around. It was exhausting. My sisters, my mom, and I watched him struggle to eat, breathe, and move. On Christmas morning, about 3:30 a.m., I got the call that he was fading fast. I remember asking my husband if that call really just happened. He said yes. My mom and I already had this plan set prior to this. We knew that whenever we would get the call, that I should be the one to drive her to him. I didn't want her to try to drive in that emotional state. Even though it was the crack of dawn on Christmas morning and there was no traffic, we still didn't make it there in time. He died without any family present. I don't want to talk about why hospice wasn't there, not right now. And then my other sisters got there, and so we were there, but not for his last breath. My sisters, my mom, and I had already said our goodbyes to him earlier, but this was still painful. We were grieving, but also dealing with the fact that it took so long for a hospice nurse to arrive at the nursing home and declare him deceased, and then wait for the funeral home to come pick him up. I don't know, maybe because it was Christmas Day? I don't know. When you lose someone, sometimes you have to suspend the initial grief crying so you can get through notifying others. You're trying to keep your wits about you and struggle to comprehend everything everyone is saying and everything that's going on. But honestly, it just sometimes just sounds like noise. I didn't cry a lot that day. I was focused on my mom, my sisters, trying to coordinate when my youngest sister's flight would arrive, and so on. I haven't cried a lot since he died. I think that my grief came out over time, and what I'm feeling now is a little bit of relief. That kind of makes me feel crappy too. I mean, here I am coping with the loss of a loved one, and I feel relief? This doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make me a bad person. It just makes you real. For me, grief and relief feelings kind of came together at the same time. I've heard that sometimes people feel guilty for feeling that sigh of relief, so I was ready for it. Maybe that's why I'm not beating myself up over this. It's normal to feel it. Doesn't mean you didn't love them or that you don't care. I think it's just your body's way of taking care of itself, especially with caregivers. I saw how hard my mom worked to take care of him before and during the nursing home and hospital time. It can take a toll on you mentally and physically. Sometimes when you need to grieve, life has other plans. Now, I don't mean to sound harsh or unfeeling, but just because your loved one died doesn't mean that life will always hit the pause button and let you deal with that by itself. Good or bad, life's going to continue to move on and around you and all over the place. So we planned the funeral, and we had a lovely service to honor my dad. The funeral home would let us know when the ashes were ready to be picked up. We were all just trying to get back to our daily routines when a few more things hit. My husband lost his job, and my mom was declared legally dead. Yes, you heard me correctly. My mom was declared legally dead. You're probably thinking, what the hell? How does that even happen? Well, it happens when the forms are filled out incorrectly by staff and Social Security offices. It can set off a big chain of events like your bank accounts being frozen, Social Security checks, pension checks halted, just to name a few. She was at the grocery store and tried to check out when her debit card was declined. Luckily, she happened to have some cash on her that day. My mom handled all of this like a champ. She took care of everything with grace and humor. She had to spend a lot of time at the Social Security office and the bank. And just when she thought it was resolved, another issue would pop up. It was a huge pain in the ass that she didn't need to deal with at that time. So sometimes life will throw things at you like that, or job loss, when you're just trying to grieve. That's why grief sometimes doesn't manifest right away. If you have a friend who recently lost someone and you don't see them crying or being super sad, maybe their attention is being pulled in a million other directions. In fact, I'm going to guarantee it. And don't forget that there's often the business side of grief, like dealing with the banks, wills, estates, and so on. Remember just to be there. Let them know you hear and you see them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just sit quietly with them. Grief comes in all shapes and shows up whenever the hell it feels like it. Thanks for listening. I am so thankful that I can host this podcast and hopefully be of service. Speaking of being of service, I want to give a shout out to two friends who've been hosting a nonprofit Widows Helping Widows support group for years. I found them when I was looking for a group with younger widows and widowers. The other groups, I just didn't feel like I really fit in with. They were a little bit older. We didn't have some of the same life experiences. And so this group is really just for anyone who's lost a spouse. Michelle and Terry were both young widows, and they decided to turn their pain into helping others. Now they have their very own YouTube channel called Widows Helping Widows, a grief support group. Please take a moment and just go check it out. They are so relatable and engaging and kind. Oh, and in case you're wondering, my hubby starts a new job soon and my mom is alive again. Yay! Grief and Frozen Lasagnas is a Patronica production. It's written and hosted by Veronica Day. Music and sound design by Patrick Gary and the musical talents of the Sideshow Symphony. To hear this and other music by the Sideshow Symphony, go to www.sideshowsymphony.com or find them on Apple Music or the streaming service of your choice. If you like what you heard or know anyone who might like this, please help us spread the news by sharing it. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please rate and review to let other people know about us. It really does help. If you'd like to be part of the show, see photos, or you'd like to find and listen to our other episodes, please visit us at griefandfrozenlasagnas.com. Thanks for listening today, and hopefully in the future. Take care of yourself and be kind.